Holy Spirit, here this day, we open our hearts, our minds, and we allow you entrance, Lord. We allow you here this day to speak your word of direction to our lives, Lord, that will bring liberty, Lord Father God, not only to us here present this morning and those viewing online, but that would be able to bring a liberty to this city of Milwaukee, Lord, that many are living without you in their lives. You're the game changer, Lord. You're the one that's able to do all things, Lord. You're the unlimited God. And what is impossible for a man is not impossible for you. So hear this day, Lord. We come before you, Lord Father God, knowing that you're already working, already in motion, in the hearts of your sons and daughters. And for that, in advance, we thank you, we love you, and we all say in one accord, amen. Let's give the Lord a good clap offering on this beautiful Sunday morning, amen. Those viewing online, give the Lord a good clap offering right there in your very own living room, amen. Praise the Lord. You may have your seats, worship team, congregation, you may have your seats as well. See a lot of new faces here this morning. That's very exciting. Amen. That the word's going out, that something's taking place in Victory Outreach Milwaukee with the people like you and I. That's what makes it the miracle. Amen. Amen. But the Lord is in full control right now. And I want to say thank you. And I speak for my wife as well for the being able to honor us here this day in a pastor appreciation day here. And so I'm not good at those things. My wife's better than me in that. Amen. So, but nevertheless, I thank you guys, everyone that has something to do with it. And I'm just very blessed to be your shepherd here this day. Amen. I believe the Lord has a word for you here this day. Whether you've been in the Lord many, many years, whether you just got saved last year, or this is your first time in church, and you're trying to figure out the presence of the Lord. You're trying to figure out why something is taking place in your heart, something's taking place in your thinking, and you're being challenged right now by the person of the Holy Spirit that you don't have to remain where you're at. You're being convinced that hope is coming your way and saying things are going to change. They're not going to remain the same. So let's give the Lord a good clap offering here this day. Because he ain't done with the one of us yet. He's still at work in each and every one of our lives. And he knows exactly what he's doing here this morning. Even though you've come to a place in your mind says, that's it, I really blew it this time, I messed up, that there's no way out. Well, I would have to say, you wouldn't find yourself in church here this day if that was the truth. But somehow or another, you might feel like you're at a dead end in your life right now. Nothing's going the way you wanted it to go. But you find yourself in the temple of God here this day. And I want to let you know that you're going to hear the good news that's going to bypass all the bad news taking place in this world right now. It's time for me to preach the good news, and it's time for you to hear the good news that it ain't as bad as you've thought it out to be, amen? What you've allowed to snowball as if, man, I can't do it. I can't do it. As you go to the Word of God here this morning, the title is Left Behind. And it's part one. There'll be a part two next Sunday. It's Left Behind. If they would kindly please show the picture. It just shows a group of runners that are, let me see, 5 of them that are a little bit more in shape than the guy up there in the back. Amen. Have you ever been left behind one way or another, where you were rejected and somehow or another, and you got off to a bad start in life? You might even be innocent to all that took place that allowed you to get off to a bad start that has you behind where you believe you should be at right now. Have you ever, if you're a girl, I don't want to, no girls crying, but if you're a girl and you're in high school and you didn't get asked to go to the prom and you were left behind. Or, I'll clean it up for you girls. Or you could be a man that wanted to go to the prom and all the girls told you no, even the one that was crying because she wasn't able to go. Told you no. Have you ever been left behind? Maybe at your job, you feel you're performing better than the next man or the next woman, and yet he's being promoted, she's being promoted, and you're not. You're the one that does all the work. Have you ever felt you've been left behind in church, that your pastor don't notice you? And you feel certain things are unfair, and you feel you're being left behind, whether it's something of your fault or the fault of someone else. It's one thing to be left behind, and nobody wants to be left behind. But it's another thing to leave Jesus behind. And that's what I want to speak about here on this beautiful Sunday morning, leaving Jesus behind. Leaving Jesus out of your life and thinking that you're going to make it because you happen to be one of the five of those all-star runners in the front of the pack for now. And you feel convinced that you can leave Jesus behind and still be okay. As we go into the word of the Lord found in the book of Luke chapter 2, I'm going to read all the stories. I know there's new people here and I want all of us growing together. Amen. Those viewing online, amen. If you would get your Bible, if you don't have one, all the scriptures being read today will be on screens. Amen. The book of Luke, chapter 2, verses 41 to 52, I'm going to be reading. Amen? And the Bible says that every year, not every other year, every 10 years, but every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. When Jesus was 12 years old, that's the age of my son, he's 12. When Jesus was 12 years old, they attended the festival as usual. Not only when they could make it, but as usual, every year they attended this festival of the Passover, amen? After the celebration was over, I believe thousands and thousands of people were there. The Bible goes on to say that from Jerusalem to Nazareth, where Jesus and his parents came from for this festival, was like 91 miles away. In other words, it was like from here to Chicago on foot. And if you do all the calculations, which I did, it would take roughly a week walking every day to get to the destination, amen, of Jerusalem, to attend the Passover festival. Amen? The Bible goes on to say that after the celebration was over, they started home to Nazareth on a whole week journey on foot. Amen? But Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents didn't miss him at first, because they had assumed that he was among the other travelers. But when he didn't show up that evening, How many have ever had kids that it just one day it happened that they didn't show up back home? Amen. They were going to go party. And where's Junior? Where's Sally? The Bible goes on to say, but when he didn't show up that evening, they started looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they couldn't find him, how many have ever gone looking for Jesus and weren't successfully able to find him? When they couldn't find him, they went back to Jerusalem to search for him there. So they had a turn. They were walking and, hey, where's Jesus? Where's Jesus? Can you imagine? Thousands of people and all of a sudden, where's Jesus? Where's Jesus? I don't know. Where is? I don't know. I saw him last time. Where's Jesus? Where's Jesus? And I believe this city is looking for Jesus in all the wrong places. With the relatives, amen, with friends. You're trying to find Jesus for your life. You're trying to find victory, breakthrough for your life. But you're looking for Jesus in all the wrong places. You're going by what the world is doing. And if you go by what the world is doing, the only one you're going to find is the lying devil himself. And one way you're able to find the devil himself is through people, is through friends, is through relatives. And if you're able to find the devil, how many have ever found the devil before? How many have ever acted like the devil? And I am convinced here this day, a full-blown ex-heroin addict of many, many years, OD'd 15 times, many years in prisons there in California, Northern and Southern California. And on my last year there, my mom, my dad didn't want nothing to do with me because they got tired of looking out for me in the evening. They knew I wasn't coming back. And on the last year in prison, minding my own business, in my right mind, healthy, working out every day, lifting weights, playing basketball every day, eating good as one could eat in the system. In the last year, Jesus found me. See, Jesus has never been lost. Jesus, we're the ones that got lost and bound. Amen? Jesus has never been lost. The Bible says that he chose us, that we didn't choose him. We were the ones that were lost. It wasn't the Lord. But on this particular day, Jesus was the one that was lost. Mom and Dad couldn't find Jesus. It's going to get good today. My pastor would always say it's going to get gooder and gooder. That's incorrect grammar, but it sounds good. Jesus has never been lost. It's just that at times we leave him behind. We leave him out of our life, out of our marriage, out of the lives of our children. Jesus has never been lost. He's sovereign. He's all-knowing. He knows all our thoughts we're thinking right now, whether they're positive or negative. He's going, oh, that's good. Ooh, sister, what's up with you? Pastor just started. Here, they were on this journey back, and all of a sudden, evening had come. And Jesus was nowhere to be found at 12 years old amongst a crowd of thousands and thousands that hadn't just come from the club or a bar, but from the Passover festival. And Jesus was lost. Have you seen Jesus? Have you seen? No, I haven't seen. Have you seen Jesus? And Martha and Mary and Joseph were tripping. Have you ever lost a child? I'm going off my notes, but let's roll. Have you ever lost a child at a grocery store, at a game, for just a hot second and go crazy and just lose it? Where's he at? Where's she at? Where? She was right here. Where's she at? Call the cops! Amber Alert! Amber Alert! I can't find my child. It's evening. I remember as a little kid, I went to a wrestling match. My dad took me to a wrestling match there in South Texas. And I was all into the wrestling. These big old guys faking like they were killing each other. Amen. At a young age, I was probably 8 or 9. You know, I was all into it. Well, getting all into it, I said, where's dad? There was hundreds and hundreds of crowd of people. And I went crazy for about a minute. My dad was crazy. I was crazy. But when he found me, boy, the rest of all those other wrestling matches I could have cared less about. I was on his coattail, and I didn't let go of dad nowhere because I didn't like that feeling of being lost for a hot minute in the midst of a crowd at a very young age. So I held on to my dad the rest of the night. You see, here in this story that I'm about to read you here tonight, Joseph and Mary, the Bible in the NLT translate uses the word, they were frantic, looking for Jesus. Amen? But we're going to find that Jesus wasn't frantic. We're going to find that he was chilling in the temple. He was upon his father's business. But when I got lost, I was frantic, and my dad was frantic until he found me. So I don't know if you're lost here this day in a few ways, one way, or if Jesus is lost in your life. I don't know what's taking place, but he does. And he's wanting to find some of his daughters and sons here on this Sunday morning. He's wanting to say, here I am, my son. Here I am, my daughter. You need me in your life. Amen. Don't leave me behind. You can leave her or him behind. But you can't leave me behind. You need me. That's the Lord speaking to all of us right now. As we get back to the scriptures, please. The Bible goes on to back up, go back once, I think. The Bible says when they couldn't find him, they went back to Jerusalem to search for him there. 3 days later, they finally discovered him. Have you ever discovered Jesus? It was like he never existed. He was already 12 years old. But as they backtracked, see, sometimes we got to backtrack. 3 days later, when they finally discovered him in the temple, sitting among the religious teachers, listening to them and asking questions, all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. His parents... I can barely see now. His parents didn't know what to think. Son, his mother said to him, why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been frantic, searching for you everywhere. And he responds, this is one of his answers of wisdom. Amen. But why did you need to search? See, the Lord should always be with us where we shouldn't have to search for him. So the 12-year-old was telling mom and dad what time it was. Amen? But why did you need to search, he asked. Didn't you know? See, there's some things we should be knowing, people. So Jesus is telling mom and dad, didn't you know that I must be in my Father's house? Another translation says, upon my Father's business. But they didn't understand what he meant. That's funny when the kids understand and the parents don't. That's why we have all the problems we got in this world right now. Parents are not understanding the plan of the Father. Amen? So when you don't understand the plan of the Father, the kids will have the answers, whether it's going the right way or the wrong way. They'll know everything. Somebody's got to know something. Then he returned to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them, and his mother stored all these things in her heart. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We love you. Give you all the glory and all the honor. We already know that you are not lost, Lord. But I believe there's a few here that are. I believe there's a few viewing online right now that are lost, Lord, and are in need of a Savior, Lord. And that's why we come to you here this day, Lord. Speak, Holy Spirit. In your precious name we pray, and we all say in one accord, amen. Amen. So the Bible says in verse 41 that every year Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. So some know what the Passover festival is here, but a lot don't know what the festival of the Passover is, or even what the Passover represents. Amen. And that's why I'm going to take us to the Old Testament right now to give us reason why they went every year as usual. Amen. Even though the journey was 91 miles, a week long, one way, 2 weeks round trip. Amen. Got a call last night, a guy that was in our rehab home a couple of years ago, doing great. Fell into bad luck again there in California, Northern California. And I got a call. Mom's all frantic. Her son's in her home, 44, 45 years old. And he's lost. Even though he's still in mom's house, he's lost. And he talked to me broken on the phone and says, Pastor, I'm willing to do anything it takes. So I just, before I came out of my office right now, I got the text, he's on the plane. They wanted him out of there. He's on the plane. See, sometimes you got to backtrack to pick up where you left off and leaving Jesus behind. Exodus chapter 12, verses 12 and 13. Then I'm going to go to verse 28 and 36. And what we're going to read right now is the 10th plague. There was 10 plagues, the flies, the frogs, the bloody water, all that the Lord was doing through the man of Moses to set his people free that had been in bondage for over 400 years there in Egypt. Amen. And the Pharaoh, the Bible says that God hardened the heart of the Pharaoh. And even though the plagues were devastating all the way to the 9th plague, amen, the Pharaoh wouldn't still let the people of God go, amen. So he did this last plague, amen, that would take out the firstborn, very firstborn even of the livestock, amen. And for the Pharaoh, that meant his son. And everyone else down, the Bible records, we're going to read all the way down to the dungeons of prison. The first young of every family was going to die that night. And what they had to do was put the blood of the lamb on the doorpost, around the doorpost. Amen. So when the angel of the Lord, the death angel, would come through, and wherever he would see the blood of the lamb, he would pass over. That's why it's called the Passover. He would pass over that house knowing that that house, amen, belonged to the Lord. So every house that had the blood of the lamb, amen, the angel would pass over. But every other house, The firstborn would be taken out. As we read, on that night, I will pass through the land of Egypt and strike down every firstborn son and firstborn male animal in the land of Egypt. I will execute judgment against all the gods of Egypt, for I am the Lord. But the blood on your doorposts will serve as a sign, marking the houses where you are staying. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. This plague, it was the 10th and last final plague. This plague of death will not touch you when I strike the land of Egypt. Amen. Let's go now to 28 to 36. So the people of Israel did just as the Lord had commanded through Moses and Aaron. And that night, at midnight, the Lord struck down all the firstborn sons in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn son of Pharaoh, who sat on his throne, to the firstborn son of the prisoner in the dungeons. Even the firstborn of their livestock were killed. Pharaoh and all the officials and all the people of Egypt woke up during the night, and loud wailing was heard throughout the land of Egypt. There was not a single house where someone had not died. Pharaoh sent for Moses and Aaron during the night. Get out, he ordered. Leave my people and take the rest of Israelites with you. Go and worship the Lord as you have requested. Take your flocks and herds, as you said, and be gone. Go. But bless me as you leave. Pharaoh had, he was like, hook me up on the way out. Yeah, I know you guys have been under bondage for a year, but hook me up on the way out. All the Egyptians urged the people of Israel. It wasn't just the Pharaoh, but all the people of Egypt. Amen. To get out of the land as quickly as possible, for they thought, we will all die. The Israelites took their bread, dough. Some of you think it was like bread as in money, but it was the real bread, but they got their money also. Let's keep reading, amen? They got their bread anyhow. Their bread, their dough before yeast was added. They wrapped their kneading boards in their cloaks and carried them on their shoulders. And the people of Israel did as Moses had instructed. They asked the Egyptians for clothing and articles of silver and gold. The Lord caused the Egyptians to look favorably on the Israelites, and they gave the Israelites whatever they asked for. So they stripped the Egyptians of their wealth. Heavy. 2 to 3 million people were ransacking all of Egypt. Amen? I believe all of the Egypt owned and had, they're the ones that worked for it anyhow. They were just getting back what belonged to them anyhow. So here we find what the Passover represents. And the Passover was so important, amen, that the Lord would tell Moses to tell the people, I want you every year to remember what I did on that day in taking you out of bondage, out of Egypt, out of addiction, out of whatever he had you with, that every year, this is for all time, and it was in the Old Testament, it was to carry on even to today, that once a year would be celebrated what the Lord did that day and breaking them out of Egypt. That's why it's very important to have a praying life. Because every day, not once a year, but every day, I thank the Lord what he did that day, that night, in a prison cell, in taking me out of Egypt. And even though I was still in prison, I was set free. I was no longer in bondage, amen. When I got out, the next day, I was at a church service. And I believe the reason the people leave Jesus behind is because they forget what Jesus did for their lives, where no man, no woman, amount of money, no program could get you out of. Jesus did it. And I believe that that's why the churches ain't as powerful as they should be, operating in the person of the Holy Spirit with signs and wonders taking place. If the Lord could set free this heroin addict, he can set free any and every heroin addict, any crack addict, any prostitute, any alcoholic, any college-bound person that thinks they don't need Jesus. I'd rather take an uneducated, unedumacated person than a highly educated person any day. Send me a man, a woman, a young adult that says, I'm screwed up, I need help, Pastor. Then one that needs help and thinks everything's okay because they're educated. Educated people are tough people. You know, they're one of those five up in the front, but spiritually they're the one being left behind. They're trying to run a race, and their success, they feel that they're one of the five in the front. But the truth is they're being left behind. And there's coming a rapture. There's coming a Jesus on the second coming for his church. And many are going to be left behind that were first here on this earth, that had it going on here. But when it comes to the spiritual things, the plan of the Father, going to be left behind. Tell yourself, shh, I ain't getting left behind. Because if you take being left behind another step, it represents hell. It's way beyond not going to the prom. It represents an eternity in hell. Being left behind. Those that will be left behind are the ones that left Jesus behind. What is your lifestyle saying for you right now? Are you leaving Jesus behind, leaving Jesus out of your lifestyle? Or is he your lifestyle, your life? I may not be the most elegant person, but I have a personal relationship with the Lord. And I know the crowd before me right now. I don't have to teach educated in the Greek and the Hebrew. I used to do that. You know when I used to do that? When I was a young pastor not knowing nothing. So I had to look like I knew something. So I would do a lot of Greek and Hebrew messages. I would break it down to the 10th power, not knowing what I was doing, living in commentaries. Because I wanted to look like that pastor really knew what he was talking about. When the gospel's simple, it's not complicated. Because we're a simple people. So, are you leaving Jesus behind? In Luke chapter 2, verse 43, the Bible says, after the celebration of the Lord, they started home to Nazareth, but Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem as his parents didn't miss him at first. Don't it always start off like that? I put in my notes. You start slowly but surely leaving Jesus behind. And when trouble starts coming hard, the revelation is that you left Jesus behind. And that's why certain things are taking place that shouldn't be taking place, that will take place when one leaves Jesus behind. As not a very important person for the success of your life, this church, this city. And it always starts off good. The enemy will let you get away with it, putting Jesus behind, not going to church. And he'll set you up. He'll set you up just when you think, I really don't have to make every service. You're not that good. You're not that good. Verse 44 says, because they assumed that he was among the other travelers, but when he didn't show up that evening, they started looking for him among their relatives and friends. Every time things take place in your life, who do you go looking for? When there's problems in your life, the very mother and father of Jesus went to the travelers and friends and relatives first. Who do you run to when times get hard? Who do you run to when things ain't going the way you would want them to be going? Do you go to someone that is positive, that is in the Word, that has a relationship with the Lord? Or do you go to someone that's just as lost as you are to be able to make each other feel good with whatever is spoken about? They started looking for him among their relatives, friends, and other travelers. But it wasn't good enough. They still couldn't find Jesus. The only way you're going to find Jesus through friends, relatives, amen, is if there was Jesus. My dad would always say, all drunk on whiskey, he was a functioning alcoholic, principal of the high school. He would say, son, and the glass would hit the counter table, do what I say, don't do what I do. And I would look at him young and, what does that mean, Dad? And I would, educated man, bachelor's degrees, everything. You got it, son? Do you hear me, boy? Yes, Dad. Back then, there was no such thing as no dad. And every time he was in the mood, which was every day, he would tell me the same thing. Son! Because he had the right counsel. He had the right words. But what he did was totally opposite what he was, the instructions he was giving me. So I kept getting older and older, and then high school came around. Did I follow my dad's instructions, which were true, or did I follow his actions that were before me? I followed his actions, and I outdid Dad. I became a heroin addict. I went way beyond alcohol. A lot of times as parents, we're trying to tell our kids to do what's right because we know what's right, but we're doing what's wrong. It doesn't work. On a good day, you can hook them up with the 20 as they leave the door. And eventually, they're going to follow the action speaks louder than correct instructions. Isn't that crazy? But it's a truth. It's a truth. But as they looked in the thousands of relatives and friends and travelers, after everybody whispered, where's Jesus? Where's Jesus? They're looking for him. He wasn't found amongst none of them. Verse 45 says, when they couldn't find him, they went back to Jerusalem to search for him there. I kind of let it out already, but there I put here, there's times you got to go back to what was working in order to find Jesus. How many at one time were stronger in the Lord than you are right now? And there's times that you got to go back to what was working, what you were doing to be stronger then than you are now. Because the truth is, you should be stronger now than you were then. But a lot of times we leave Jesus behind, out of the picture, and we got to start all over again, even though we know what's right and what he's requesting from our very lives. We got to repeat the first grade again, second grade, if you were like me, two times. Some of you are laughing, but some of you flunked also. At least I can admit it. I flunked the second grade twice. Educated parents. I don't know. I wasn't a school guy. The next point is Jesus leading. He's leading right now. Jesus leading at times will take you back instead of forward. We serve a progressive God, we say. It sounds real biblical, real powerful. It makes us. We serve a progressive God. He's always moving. He's always at work. But sometimes the leading of the Lord will take you back instead of forward. Not by choice of him, but because of the choices we made in leaving him behind out of our life. End time message here this day. Some of you can get a little mad, and if you are getting a little mad right now, a little fuss, the Holy Ghost working. Jesus leading at times will take you back instead of forward. And nobody wants to go back. But many are leaving Jesus behind. If you don't like going back, you think Jesus likes being left behind? Put on the shelf, back on the shelf again? Because the Word was God and God is the Word. Verse 46 says, 3 days later, boy, they're looking for Jesus. They backtrack on the way back to Nazareth. They backtrack to Jerusalem. They get to Jerusalem, and they're looking at all these places for Jesus. I believe they couldn't find Jesus in the friends and the relatives amongst the travelers. So they go back to where they know he was in Jerusalem, and still 3 days later looking for Jesus in Jerusalem, they still can't find him. I believe Jerusalem today represents the church. You come to a place where you should be able to find Jesus. But there's many churches operating right now outside of the power and the person of the Holy Spirit. And you can go to church as long as you want, don't mean you're going to find Jesus. I can testify here, if you come to this church, you will find Jesus right there where you're sitting at, no matter what your circumstance is looking like right now, good, bad, or ugly, you will find Jesus. We should be able to come to church, Jerusalem, and find Jesus, but yet, mom and dad, 3 days, it's like looking in the church for 3 days for Jesus. You seen Jesus? Seen Jesus? No? You seen Jesus? And see, Jesus got to be within our lives. This is just a brick and mortar place with some wood, amen, a place that we call the temple of God, but we are the true temple of God. This is where he really wants to abide and live in, that no matter where we're at, 24/7, people are able to find Jesus. As long as they find us, they found Jesus. But there's sometimes that there's people that can only find Jesus for an hour or two on Sunday at the temple. It may start here, but the Lord wants a personal relationship with you here this day. He wants a commitment from your life. He don't want to be left behind. He'll be okay, but you won't. Too many leaving Jesus behind for what the world has to offer. We might go long today, people. Amen. Pastor, feel like preaching. Tell your neighbor, Pastor, feel like preaching. Tell him, I feel an old, back in the days, I used to go 2 hours sometimes. That won't happen today. In another 10 minutes, did everybody find Jesus? If everybody raises their hands, we'll bring the service to an end. Amen? But if there's ones that haven't found them yet, Pastor, haven't found them yet, I'm going to keep preaching. 3 days later, they finally discovered him, verse 46 says, in the temple. That means for 3 days, they were in Jerusalem looking everywhere but the temple. Why is it that Jesus is always our last choice? In the midst of thousands on the journey back home to Nazareth, couldn't find him amongst the friends, the relatives, the travelers. Come back to Jerusalem for 3 days, can't find them. And I believe Mary and Joseph says, we've checked everywhere. Why don't we just go check out the temple? I know he ain't going to be there, but it's the only place we haven't checked yet. Wow. 3 days later, they finally discovered him in the temple. I put here, tells us one of the places you can find Jesus is at church. We've learned that here that he was sitting, amen, in the church among the religious teachers, listening, not only listening to them and asking questions. Go to the next verse. Next verse, please. I guess not. All who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. What does this tell me? It's the theme of the season we're in right now. Jesus was in the temple at 12 years old, not just listening, but getting involved. He was at the temple, not only listening, but also speaking. Amen. With understanding, giving answers. Elias was not just here singing today, but he was speaking. What the words were, the words of the Lord that he was telling me in my office was said through my son at 12 years old. I truly believe in this end times that we're living in falls on the parents in showing their children who Jesus is and where he can be found. Who Jesus is and where he can be found. I believe falls on the parents. Ask me why. Because he can no longer be found in the schools. They've taken Jesus out of the schools. There was a time where you could have a messed up household, but as long as your kids went to school, they could get Jesus at school. It falls on the parents. And allowing our children to who Jesus is and where he can be found. Because he no longer can be found in the schools. He no longer can be found at the workplace. You get fired talking about Jesus at the workplace now. Paulino, they can talk about Jesus at Swift Roofing, right? Yeah, he said, yeah. Jesus has been taken out of the schools, out of the workplace. It's down to our homes. For our children to be able to know who Jesus is and know where to find him. Question, can Jesus be found in your home? Not a Bible, but Jesus, the alive Jesus, not the written Jesus, the alive Jesus. Can Jesus be found in your home? Because if he can be found in your home, he can be found in your life wherever you're at any given moment of the day. It's very important as parents that we teach our children the things of God and who he is and where he can be found in the times that we're living in right now. And in most churches, Jesus can't even be found. I know that the Lord is speaking through me right now as an ex-drug addict, eating out of trash cans. I'm not ashamed to say it, because I've been set free. I'm doing the call of God upon my life. And I am not ashamed of who I used to be, nor am I ashamed of who the Lord is. And that's why the Lord uses me today. I start my day with Jesus. Every day starts with Jesus. I make sure I spend time with Jesus, not to leave Jesus behind. During the rat race of the day and the ups and downs and moving fast, I might leave this behind or forget and leave that behind. There's one thing I ain't going to forget that's in the morning, and that's leaving Jesus behind. Not leaving Jesus behind. I always had a saying that I was moving fast, going nowhere. All doped up, flying all over the place. Moving fast, going nowhere. You can be moving fast and still be left behind. Can you imagine not being able to find your child for 3 days? Can you imagine for 3 days looking at the wrong place for your child? What does a parent do when they're... We usually go to the crooked friends. We go to the crooked places first. Ah, that's where she is at. That's where he's at. Told him not to go there no more. I told her not to go there no more. Where you been looking for your children lately? It's a true message today. You know, the news says, it's 10 o'clock. Do you know where your children are at? My dad would always say, I would leave the house about 10 o'clock midnight to go clubbing all night and crossing the border into Mexico and partying until the sun comes up in border town. He would say, boy, if you're out past 9 o'clock, you're up to no good. Come on, Dad, I ain't that bad. But man, I look back at the days of my dad's sayings that he would tell me with a bachelor's degree. If you're out past 9 o'clock, don't lie to me, you're up to no good. That's why the curfew of the second phase is 9 o'clock. Anything past that, you're up to no good. They got to call permission that they're eating out with another brother. It's all good. I put here and getting close to bring it to an end. Many children lost today not having Jesus without even knowing they're lost. It's called religion. Many children, I put here, lost today, living in a house, having a mom and dad, because they don't have Jesus, they're lost. Without even knowing they're lost. They think they're doing good. They got mom, dad, they're going to school, they got clothes, they got food, but they're lost. They don't know they're lost, mom and dad don't know they're lost, but the devil does. The enemy does. And his plan is to kill, steal, and destroy. It might come with a smile after you smoke one, but his ultimate plan is to take you out. not to let you have a good time. The women were at in San Antonio, Texas, at the retreat they had. And Sadie's called me. She's here. I prayed that you guys would be here today. I pray that new people would be here. And she was asking, one of the messages dealt with prayer intercessory. And she started asking me questions. And I started giving her a breakdown of 25 years of what the Lord has given me. Prayer intercessory is prayer. It's a type of prayer that, you know, when you pray for others, it's real powerful because it takes you beyond what you're facing. And allows you to put your focus on somebody else instead of always being locked into yourself and your problems. Prayer intercessory, it takes you out of who you are to start reaching out for someone else's life. And in this church, the leadership are the only ones that can lay hands until I start knowing the people better and better. And then you don't have to be a leader. If you've been with me a while, I'll give you permission to lay hands on. But other than that, we don't allow that. There's a lot of biblical truths behind that. You know, be careful who prays for you. Amen? I'm not that spiritual of a person. There's sometimes some people touch me. I go, well, why'd you touch me? I get paranoid. The old cocaine addiction creeping in. But it doesn't mean, Sadis, that you got to wait for that time, because you can start laying hands on your own children. Paulino, laying hands. Elias comes to us. We don't go to him. Whether it's 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, yeah, he stays up that late. Pray for me. He goes, Mom, she prays for him. And then I lay hands and I pray for him. For years, he comes to us before he goes to sleep. And whatever I'm doing, watching TV, whatever, I bring it to an end. He'll grab the remote and put the pause on it. Pray for me, Dad. We pray for him, and he starts whining, I love you. And Marlene will say, I love you. I'm like, man, I don't have to say it, you know. Dad, I love you, son. You don't let me get away with it. And how can you say, I don't love you, son? But he wants to hear us both say, I love you back. And then he's able to go to sleep. So what I want to do here this day, I want all the children, please, brought up. I want to exercise the word of the Lord. I want to exercise the parents right now. That you have authority, you have power within your life. And that it is your responsibility in raising up your children. So what I want right now, amen, they're going to be bringing up the children from downstairs. The children's meeting, let's pray real quick. Father, cover us in the blood, amen. That was a joke. We had the hallelujah night last night, amen. Everything went really good, and they came and told me, Pastor, guess what? Because we're a frontline ministry. We take it on. Amen? We got two legit outlaw bikers in the church. Oh, praise the Lord. Boy, I had one eye on those two cats the rest of the night. We had two outlaw bikers here. They came in their wardrobe, a little outlaw vest they had on. And I was keeping an eye all night long. I got posted up in the front. Because things happen. When they happen really quick. And I'm going to be posted up. All the prison wisdom kicked in. All the working off reflections and everything. But what I want to do this day, I want the children to come to the altar right now. I want the children. As the children start making their way in, any children here, I would say under 18, and let's say you're a son or a daughter, but you ain't got mom or dad, you're with grandma, I'm your spiritual dad, and your spiritual mom's here right now. So anyone 18, you can come too, baby, I'm sorry, man, So I want all the youth, all the young adults, I want them lined up at the altar here. Drag them if you have to. I'm not doing this for them. I'm doing this for the parents. If you guys could just come together, sis, please. Just come together. Come this way. Come this way. Amen. Now, if you are a parent here, I want you to come and stand behind your children. Now, sons and daughters, if you don't have mom or daddy's not here, I'm your mom and daddy. Amen? Of a different mother. Amen? It's all good. It's all good. There are some things in church you got to wait for, but the laying hands on of a parent to their children does a lot. It does a lot. It does a lot. Every time I lay hands on you guys, I will say, God, let my hand be your hand right now. Let my hand be your hand. We cannot be embarrassed to pray for our children. It's a beautiful thing. It's something that the Lord requests, to train a child in the ways of the Lord, and he'll never depart. Don't mean he'll never mess up. It's just when he does mess up, he'll know how to get back on track. That's what we want. We want our children to know if they make a mistake, how to get back in finding Jesus. So I want parents to be audible. A lot of times, you don't have to have a, thus says the Lord, Joseph, Mary of the heavens. You don't have to be fancy. It just got to be real. Because God's looking at the heart right now. And I want you just right now, just start praying. Just start laying hands on your child. Amen. Just start praying for them. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Audibly, I want you to play. I want your children to hear you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Touch this child, Lord. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Next generation. If God can use my son at 12, he can use all your children. You can use all the children up here. You can be in a hot mess right now. But Jesus has found you at his house in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the children, Lord. Thank you for the children, Lord. Father God, you know all things. You know what they're going through, Lord. Oh, stir the gifts, Lord. Your word says that you knew them before they were even in their mother's womb, that you already saw them, Lord. You already knew what was taking place, going to take place, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Blessed be your name, Lord. Father, bless the children, Lord Father God. Your word says, do not keep the children coming to me, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. There's a scripture in the Bible where the kids were trying to get at Jesus and the disciples were rebuking the kids because Jesus was too important to be bothered by the children. And he caught it. And he told the disciples, don't keep the children from coming to me. The Bible says that day he laid hands on it, he blessed them. Amen. Now I want the congregation to stand up. Amen. And if the line, if everybody can just shift this way, and the line starts right there with the usher with his hand up, you guys go this way. In other words, wrap around the church. I'm going to do an anointing line right now. God is here. The presence of the Lord is here. And he's looking for praying parents. Praying parents. And you might be a son here right now. You might be a daughter here right now that don't have children. You still got to find Jesus here today. I know and I'm certain that the Lord has spoken, and sometimes we just got to follow in obedience His word, whether we think it pertains to us or not. Jesus got left behind. And in these end times we're living in right now, we have no place within our lives in leaving Jesus behind, because there's something better that we're following. Amen? So when you come, you're going to keep on walking. You can get back to your seat. We're not going to stop. I'm not going to take all day. You're going to be walking. When Jesus does something, he needs a second to do it. He don't need all day. Amen? As we start making our way. In the name of Jesus. 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 In the name of Jesus.